podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? And welcome to the Churros y Tácticas Podcast. It is Wednesday, the 9th of February. Yes, we're recording to you on a Wednesday. And with me is, of course, Kian Sobani, the better half of this podcast called Churros y Tácticas. I say the better half, and I don't know, necessarily perhaps also the more groomed half, although it's hard to look at this.
Not
I'm looking
today.
Slick today, Kian.
Not today,
I'm coming
yeah.
fresh. Okay. I'm coming fresh from the barber. And although they don't manscape there, I do manscape. I did manscape this morning. This episode, in case you haven't noticed yet, coming to you by the fine folks of Manscaped, the pioneers in male grooming. And of course, make sure that if you do go and get yourself some of their fine products, to use the discount code CHURROS with two R's to get a 20% discount.
Do you think the barbershop should add a Manscaped option? Like there's haircut, beard trim, Manscaped.
I don't want my peluquero, as they call them here, my barber, to manscape my balls. I think he would enjoy it too much. Let's just put it that way. He would have a smile on his face, put it that way. And it would be concerning for me.
It would definitely change the dynamic of your relationship with him, for sure.
And we have a good one. Like, I have to say, I'm a very I don't know how you are. I'm super loyal. I travel, you know, half hour across town to go to still, even though we moved over the years, we now live in San Cugat outside of Barcelona. I still go to him because once I'm got my the dude that gets my hair right, I just stick to that motherfucker and I go there. Now, yeah, he happens to be gay. And he tells, we have a very good relationship, very open. And we tell each other very funny stories, his stories, my stories, we share stories. But having him manscape my crown jewels, as I sometimes like to call them.
I understand.
Yes.
I understand. Yeah, I'm the same way with my barber in the sense that I have to go to the same barber. First of all, it's a couple things. One, it's... you just have that connection. The barbershop is one of the remaining safe spaces to talk about anything you want without there being any judgment. So there's
correct.
That. And like when you have that established with your barber and not all the staff and the barbers, like they all know you, they all like talk to, you know, it's one of the last safe spaces. The other thing is,
yes,
a barber just knows instinctively over the years how to cut your hair, all the nuances. Yes. Where your weak spots are, what
tricky.
Needs to be accentuated. Sorry. Like for me, like I travel a lot. So if I go to my barbershop anywhere else, it's just a bad haircut. No matter how well I explain it, they just don't understand. I'm with you.
Anywhere? Or do you sometimes have that odd surprise where you're like, holy shit, this fucking kid did a pretty nice job. But then you still go back.
Years.
I have had that.
Okay.
No, I still go back, but I have had like emergency where I'm like, shit, I got to get my hair cut because I'm interviewing that person or the show or whatever. And my, you know, usual barber can't. And then I go to an emergency one and I've had like this, I think he was Mexican. Yes. Anyway.
Well, you definitely win.
Listen,
the...
I also before.
You definitely win the more groomed stuff? Today. No, because like...
Oh, yes.
I've had... You look... Definitely have a fresh fade on the side too.
Good.
You got to turn your head so people can see. And also just like my last two hair appointments have been canceled due to snowstorm. So I just haven't been in. I'm going to go in today. That's the plan. Before I head
you
back
and me,
to
we
Europe.
Live in very different worlds, Mr. Sobani. You in Ontario with the snow filled, yet jet setting around the planet, visiting the world's finest cities and meeting some of the coolest people out there. I have a lot to envy on your recent jet setting trips. I would like to get out there and talk to the people like you do. Listen, before we don't have a whole lot of time on today's show. And I do feel that before we talk footy, we need to address two things. One of them actually having to do with what I was just talking about. And that's our listeners, our fans, the people that listen to our regular basis, that we want to continue to do justice by properly And recently, I feel like we just owe them an apology, and you know, because they deserve the best and they deserve better. Us, our schedules often recently haven't been aligned, and we've been not able to come to our listeners as regular, as consistent as we would have wanted. And but we made a pact before recording saying that regardless whether one of us can't, we have to stick to the Monday, Friday routine, which, you know, sometimes varies on a day, but, whether, you know, one of us can, we, one of us has to come out with something, and we want to make that, I want to make that pact public as well with our listeners so that, you know, I stick by it, we stick by it. And, the intention, Kian, and we haven't talked about this yet, and we're one more minute, but my intention is also to, for the next Clásico, come out to Madrid and we do a fucking churros y tácticas live, from Madrid. Like you do with your peeps from managing
that, Madrid. That's a public oath if I've ever heard one. That, like, so obviously, well, agreed.
We'll, I would love to do that.
We're not going to skip any more churros podcasts for patrons or otherwise. If you come down to Madrid for Churros Clásico, game over. Game over. Although I'm a little bit worried about, like,
if we win.
The tension is back now with the last Clásico, so I'm a little bit worried about what it means to actually record in person with no physical barriers, no security guards.
I might need a vest. I might need to come with a vest. Lunatics.
Can we remind us before we jump in again? So manscaped.com, code churros, CHURROS. You get the finest state-of-the-art equipment to take care of your man jewels. And again, manscaped.com, code churros for 20% off and free shipping. Diego, you had a big win this weekend, so congrats on that. Were you surprised? Were you impressed? Both?
Yeah, I'll take both of those boxes, Kian. I think I was pleasantly surprised and very impressed with what I saw in the first half. If we can call it a tale of two halves, I think that would be appropriate, because in the second half, we had to sit back. We had to defend the result at the end, right? And but there was so many goodness to talk about, you know, from the debuts, of course, of Adama and Aubameyang, from Alves scoring first goal in front of the crowd, from Barca, from him as well being playing his 1,000th game and being the oldest Barca player to have ever scored a goal as well. The guy continues to break records. It's crazy. Crazy. He's good crazy. And the Camp Nou being filled again, you know, it had been a month. The last time we played there was mid-December, the 18th, excuse me. So the crowd was really into it. The atmosphere was just perfect. It was an afternoon game. It was an old, you know what it was, Kian, and this should sum it up, at least for the older listeners and older La Liga watchers. It felt like an old school Atletico Barça. It felt like one of those Barça Atleticos from, called it the 90s, but also into the new millennium. It just felt like one of those tense, hard-fought Atletico Barça, or Barça Atleticos in this case, matches where it was high scoring. You know, there were 5 goals scored in the first half alone, and actually Dani Alves, of course, was in the second half. But exciting game to watch, Kian, and pleasantly surprised. I have to say, I wasn't expecting it, and I was very curious to see how Barça were going to come out of the gates for a game that, let's be honest as well, they've had 2 weeks to prepare, right? I mean, Xavi really, really, really prepared this match, I think, very well with the majority of the players available, because there were no international games for the, you know, the Europeans and stuff. So, let's hope this derby against Espanyol will see a continuation of this.
Well, this is, so I was impressed with Barca. I don't want to take anything away. I thought this was, you know, like, I would say the majority of the game, like even after the red card, at no point did I feel Atletico were going to do anything to you guys at all. Like, I just didn't.
Really?
Well, like, what did they do? Did they come up with anything after the red card? Nothing. I don't think they did anything.
Well, they had, you know, Joao Felix, of course, had a chance, a big chance to already to equalize what I think was the 2-2. It would have been the 2-2. And then, obviously, with Carrasco, I mean, the tension there. No, I felt like I felt a little uneasy. And I understood that Xavi had to, you know, protect the result at some point. Because we were not as ambitious as we were, you know, in the first half, of course. But...
I guess I'll say this. As much as I was impressed with Barca, you brought up Espanyol. I almost wonder if Espanyol is a bigger test for you at this point. Atletico stink, man. They are so underwhelming, so unimpressive. This is the worst team they've had. No, sorry. Let me rephrase that. This is the worst they've been in the Simeone era. The team, from a talent perspective, is not that bad. It's pretty good, especially in attack. Obviously, you don't have the same defensive pillars that you once had, but... they're just making simple mistakes. I don't really understand how they can be so bad defensively. Like set pieces, crosses, they're leaving players open. They've been doing this all season. Obviously, Oblak dropping off has been weird and inexplicable, but that wasn't really the problem in this game. And then you have just the obvious things that could have hurt Barca that I felt like Simeone just failed to take advantage of. Like you're talking about João Felix. I don't know if it's the exact same chance you're speaking about, but there was one where he's wide open at the far post. The ball comes to him and he misses the shot. And you look at that play and it's like, where's Dani Alves in that play? And like that's the blueprint to beating Barca. A couple things is just attack Dani Alves. One, good game, by the way, offensively. Defensively, a classic Alves red card. But good game from him offensively. An interesting tactical wrinkle that they moved him in the middle during the build-up phase and had Araujo on the right-back position. So there was that, but, like, attack Dani Alves more, and also they had, like, maybe one really good pressing sequence where Ter Stegen gave the ball away, but they just, like, these little things that clearly work, they just went away from and they didn't do. And they're just super bad. And I don't, like, the Daniel Wass situation is horrible because... he's going to miss a bunch of time now. It seems like he was rushed back in the first place. Llorente is injured, so I don't even know who they put there. I guess they put, like, Versaico anyway, but, you know, Versaico also was pretty embarrassing to me. Like, Gavi was just bullying him off the ball on these, like, simple 50-50
duels. Gavi had a great game.
He's a great player. The one who had a really good game that, if I'm a... I guess as, like, as someone who has defended Frankie this season... I thought Frankie had a really good game. I was happy for him in that sense because he's been scrutinized all season. He's a really good player. Mm-hmm. I thought in terms of just his ability to keep the ball moving forward quickly, like finding the solution for the team, showing for the ball, carries the ball himself, passes it vertically. He gets into the box a lot and makes a lot of dangerous runs. This is a good Frankie game too. So this was just a lot of good Barca things, and Atletico suck. So I just thought both things were true in this game, and you guys deserved the win.
Well, Gavi had a great game. So he's bullying people around. He's really coming into his own, and it's pretty crazy that he right now he's better than Pedri, you know. Of course Pedri's coming back still from a long-term injury and has got so much mileage on his legs from last season. But Gavi is, he's in my, you know, if I have to choose a midfield right now, I'm choosing him over Pedri.
If you had to, like, build somebody to defend Adama Traore, I feel like the last person you want to build is Mario Hermoso. He had no chance. No chance against him.
It was fun. No that chance. Was so much fun. But give it up for the boy, but that was so much fun.
So man. Did you, did he win some brownie points for you in that game?
Well, obviously, and the entire come no. I mean, it was what a way to make a return. What a way for the Macias son, a son of the La Masia, come back and play in front of his home crowd and have his best game ever. And it's so fun, man. You know what's really cool is kind of. And we'll see, obviously, how this will progress. But before I get into that, it's so much fun comparing his games, the few games that he had under Tata, right? When He made his debut, played against Granada, scored against in the Copa against was it Huelva, I think it was Huelva, or Huesca. Anyway, you know, you could see the strength already being built there, and you could see his movements, the way he would cut and split defenders and move inside into the box and really get himself into very, very good scoring positions, very good scoring positions, you know. And the way he's built now, looking more like a rugby player, when he now breaks, runs into space and is given that space, obviously. I think, okay, look, it's just a fantastic thing to watch. And somebody like Hermoso or Cholo, in his case, with his plan and his defensive scheme, allowed Adama just, you know, the time of day to have fun and a field day on that side. Where I want to see Adama, where it's going to be really the test to see if Adama fits the Barça or the Xavi system, is against tight, compact teams, right, where he's not given those spaces. And how will he, you know, will he be able to beat the defender off the dribble in places that are more tightly compact? And what will his association then be with his teammates passing, but also the creating into space, running then into space, and those kinds of situations? But hey, listen, first impression, fucking fantastic. And Adam, I'm really, really happy for him. You know, all that was missing was the goal. But other than that, he's at, you know, if not the man of the match alongside Gavi, you know, it would be him one and Gavi number two, perhaps.
Well, Matt, our Managing Madrid writer, brought up the point on Twitter, like the Mendy versus Adama matchup will be really interesting, because it's like, what happens when the unstoppable force moves the immovable object? Like who what happens when Hulk faces Thanos? Like, what's gonna happen? We'll see. If Mendy, I mean, that's March 20th, I think Mendy should be back in time for that.
Who was it that recuperated the ball? Was that Mendy that got the ball to Asensio for the Asensio goal?
Oh, that was Militao.
Who is it?
Mendy's
that's Militao, right? Yeah, yeah. No, it was Militao. Yeah. Well, that was a good that was really nice, man. I mean, that was, what a goal that was. Holy shit.
It's a good transition to Real Madrid. Just sitting back, like, after we're just discussing all this parts, like, you know, that Asensio goal was pretty nice. It was a nice goal. That was much needed, man. I was at that game. That was starting to get pretty uncomfortable.
You deserved it. Come on. I mean, ¿cómo se llama? Maximiliano. Am I saying that right? Anyway.
Who are you referring to? Asensio when you say that?
No, the goalkeeper, man.
Oh, I was so confused. What? Are you talking
Maximiliano? No,
I know, but
I'm talking.
Are you talking about the Granada goalkeeper?
Yes, he had an amazing game.
Oh, I guess I'm just confused, because I thought we were talking about the Asensio goals. Like, how did he deserve being scored on? I was confused. Yeah, he had an okay game. Like, a lot of our shots were just kind of at him. But he would be like this. I guess it was like a classic Real Madrid performance in a goalkeeper, opposing goalkeeper who comes in and outperforms how he usually plays. Like, and that was like a classic version of that.
He had a lot of stops.
He did. But we had a lot of shots. Our shot volume was through the roof, and he had a lot of shots. But my point is just that we didn't really, our shots weren't that good. Our biggest concern now is that scoring goals right now without Benzema and Vinicius is really difficult.
Yeah.
Vinny is coming back. Benzema's not looking, I mean, Benzema's not going to play against Villarreal. And it's not looking good for the PSG game either. And
yes.
Look at your face. Just like, you can see like your face lighting up with every time everything that I say here. Benzema not looking good against PSG. Like yes. It's not looking good. And
Maximiano. I was actually looking up his how to say his name properly.
There's no L. Yeah, it's Maximiano. There's no L.
Maximiano.
So this is our biggest concern.
No, but listen. Yeah, and I think, no, it is true. It's quite delightful that you guys are facing these kind of concerns before playing against PSG. But then again, PSG is also facing potentially missing out, or facing potentially facing Madrid while missing out on Neymar, you know, Ramos, and I think one or two more, Paredes, I think, as well.
Well, the thing is that, so to me, I mean, missing Neymar sucks, but if you're talking about, like, the MVP level, especially respective to the two teams, missing Benzema versus missing Neymar is like missing Ramos means Ramos is a little bit older now. Plus, they still have Kimpembe and Marquinhos. Missing Neymar, to be quite honest, a bigger loss for them, in my opinion, in this particular season is Di Maria. Because if he doesn't play against us, he's the kind of guy who just wants to rip our heart out, right? And he's fucking badass. And I don't want to play against him in any big game. He's a big game player, too. He's someone I'd almost worry about more. But just in time, it seems like they're hitting a certain gear. And Messi scored again on the weekend. So it's going to be an interesting one, man. It's going to be an interesting
one.
It is. And by interesting, I mean uncomfortable and just going to be holding our stomach and probably throwing up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by interesting.
Are you not going to see it? You're not going to be here to watch it?
Well, the first leg's in Paris. Obviously, we didn't even bother applying to that because we just have heard horror stories of... Like, the big ones will obviously be there, the Marca, those guys. Cadena Ser, Cadena Cope. But we've heard horror stories of kind of like smaller Real Madrid publications applying for PSG games and not getting it, even traveling to Paris and not getting in. So having to buy last second tickets, and I didn't want any part of that. So first leg's in Paris, second game against PSG. I think Lucas is going there on behalf of us, so I won't be there. But like we said, man, this is where the season gets really interesting, huh? I mean, not so much for you guys because you guys are playing in that friendly tournament. What's it called? Europa League or something like that. I think this is called
Euroleague. Laporta confused it with the basketball tournament. He was calling it Euroleague during a press conference.
Incredible.
And he was like,
I didn't know. That's incredible. Yo, what's the situation with the CEO? He's gone.
Yeah.
It seemed like him and Laporta didn't see eye to eye. You want to save that for Friday?
Yeah. Well, the Spotify deal is in.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
How do you feel about Spotify Camp Nou?
Spotify Camp Nou. It's all right. I like it. I don't mind Spotify. I am a frequent user of the app.
If Spotify sponsored Real Madrid and they called it Spotify Santiago Bernabeu, would you switch from Spotify to Apple Music or something?
Give me a break.
No, I'm serious because a lot of Real Madrid fans are saying they're going to stop using Spotify now.
Oh my God. That's insane. Well, no. Luckily, I'm not that crazy. Okay. I'm crazy, but good
not
crazy.
Not that crazy. What if
Oh, wait, Obama. What? I forgot to. I mean, there was still so much to talk about in the Barca match. There's so much going on.
Important question first.
We didn't even talk about Aubameyang.
Yeah, he wasn't that good. He worked hard though.
He wasn't that bad. Come on, man.
Too early to say either way, but
too early.
What if
what if he works out?
What if it's like 2000 and let's say I'm trying to get the timeline right. 2002. What if it's 2002 and Napster comes in and now it's Napster Camp Nou? Would you... And then Napster just stops being a thing. Is it possible that that will happen with Spotify?
Well, yes. Anything is possible. What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, what if...
Because they are sponsoring Barca, it's going to stop...
If like all the Real Madrid people start withdrawing their Spotify accounts out of like pure pettiness and the shares go down and now all of a sudden Spotify's like, hey, we don't have any money anymore. We lost all the Real Madrid fans.
Man, if Spotify depended on...
entertain me for a second.
Fans listen. I can't. I don't know where you're going with this. Just finish your thought.
I'm just starting the petition.
What would happen? I don't know.
Just get a new sponsor. All right, so what do you want to say about Aubameyang? You liked his performance off the bench?
Well, I mean, like it was very, very soon. I mean, you know, he still played, what was it, half hour? I think he came on in the 61st, replacing Adama. And yeah, hard worker. That's how I would describe it. Gave good first sensations, put it that way.
Yeah, that's all I had from him as well. I mean, nothing really jumped out from me that he did offensively or with the ball at his feet, but just that he seemed to at least work to track the passing lanes defensively. And that's what, kind of what yeah, they needed exactly. from him too at that stage
what
of the game.
What the focus was on that. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Correct.
What did you have? I feel like it's been a while. Like, we haven't talked since.
We haven't talked in a long time.
So we didn't really talk about Dembouz being back in the team, did we? Did we address that? I don't think so. So what were your thoughts on that?
No. It's Xavi's decision. I mean, I trust in Xavi's decision and I back his decision. You know, if it is better for the cohesion of this team as well, instead of making him a complete outcast and this weird shadowy figure, just to include him on the bench. And, you know, he himself decided not to warm up. So, because I guess he knew he was not going to play. And if it's a last resource, you know, again, it's completely up to Xavi, isn't it? I would prefer that people don't boo him if he does come on. I understand if they do, if that happens. But at this point, our objective is qualify for the Champions League next season by any means. And do the best we can in the Europa League, win it if we can, by any means. Those are two trophies still up for grabs and two very clear objectives. And we have to, for obviously not just financial reasons, but also the honor of the club, and to have the possibility to also then lure and attract more talent over in the summer towards the Camp Nou. So it's important for so many reasons that we finish off the season strong. Point being that if Dembele can help us at this point do that, achieve that, then so be it. You know, he's on the payroll anyway, and he earns a sweet little buck. So make him work for it whenever you see fit. I mean, obviously, I completely understand the point as well that this remains a long-term project, what Xavi is working on currently, and Dembele is a short-term solution. So focus on the long-term and give priority to that. See how that works. Shit doesn't work, and you need to pick up, you know, vital points. Then use that, you know, hit that emergency button and let his ass fucking play.
Well, fascinating stuff, Diego. I'd love to explore further. I know we got to wrap it up here. We have.
Oh, wait, you could give me a little feedback here. Yes, I agree. No, I don't. I know you got to go, but I just would like to hear your thoughts.
You do this
on
every
that.
Time, man. You do this every time.
Just quickly. Be like, yeah, that, or even like, yeah, that sounds sensible. I think, wouldn't it be the same with Bale or Hazard or whoever the fuck over with a white shirt on?
Yeah, it's a good parallel, actually. Personally, I think because it depends on how strongly you feel. Because I don't have a dog in the fight. I kind of see both sides of Dembouz and how the fans and the club feels. I understand why the fans would be frustrated with him, and I kind of understand his situation too. Like, when Laporta comes out and says, we don't understand why Dembele didn't leave. Well, sorry to say, John, but... John. Juan. It's a hard one to say for a non-native.
Just say Jan.
I'm just going to call him Jan. John from now on. Well, sorry to say, Johnny boy.
He calls himself Yun. Everybody calls him Yun. Like
Y-U-N?
Like J-A-N, Yun.
Okay. Well, sorry to say, but he's well within his rights to want to stay out and see out his contract. So there's no right or wrong, in my opinion. There's understandable frustrations from both sides. So I guess my principle would be, if he's going to help you win games, then play him.
Yeah.
Which is how I feel about Gareth Bale. Which is because like
as we have, a starter,
if he's gonna help you as a starter, then play him as a starter. Yeah, if you're gonna keep him.
Keep him short term. I mean, you know,
you're not gonna re-sign him. There's no way he's getting re-signed, right? It's an inevitable divorce.
So wouldn't you have more of a long term objective and say, I'm gonna try to let you know Adama play, see how he fits the system. If he's a good fit, dare I say better fit, obviously, but even a good fit, then you give priority to the person that will commit longer. I say Adama, obviously he's on a 6-month loan, but the intention is that to keep him on.
Yeah,
but you get my point.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the tiebreaker, it's if you're developing for more long term things, and Adama's not that young anymore, but if that's the intention is like, you know, that's kind of the Bale situation right now. It's like if you play him now, you're not playing him for the future. You have zero, you have nothing left to invest in him. He's not coming back. You know for sure it's over at the end of this, at the end of this year. But if it's a situation where it's like against Granada or, you know, another situation where you don't have Benzema or Vinicius and no one in the team is putting the damn ball in the back of the net and Bale can do that, then, you know, throw him on for a few minutes and at least get an aerial threat there instead of crossing to Isco, for example, who had a good game against Granada, by the way. But he's just not going to be that guy who's going to be throwing his body around and putting headers in. And Bale, quite frankly, might not be either. So I don't know. But if it's down to like Dembele and Adama, probably Adama is going to win the tiebreaker at this point, right? Okay, so I got to go. Anything else you want to throw me? Do you want to ask me like my thoughts on world peace?
Gerard Piqué equaling Bussi's matches in a Barca shirt. 593 matches for Gerard Piqué.
Wow. Good job, buddy. Good job, Gerard. Asensio hit like 300, I think, last game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, capped off with a beautiful goal. I don't care
about much, but...
Yeah. The players, too.
All right. Thanks, Diego. So you'll be back Friday, and... You're coming to Madrid Clásico, right? So you've made the oath.
Coming to Madrid for Clásico. This is a promise.
Okay.
So be there or be square.
Okay, perfect. All right. Thanks, buddy. Talk soon. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.